Just before we sang, Rena's brother, Ken Hager, has been in very dire trouble for over 2 weeks now. And yesterday he rallied, which is normal, which is a good thing. And they didn't know if it was a permanent rally or not, but we just got word, and I thank Melody for going out and talking to Rena, that he may be. We'll talk to you again about the temptation of Christ, and we'll be, for the most part, in Matthew chapter 4 today. However, before you go there, and you can turn this, Jeff, you want to turn this lapel mic down just a little bit, the gain on it? It's a little loud. Thank you, sir. That'll be good. That's good. Thanks. So, we've already read James 4:7 this morning. Resist the devil, right? Trust God. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's a three-part instruction. Submit, resist, and then watch. It is. It's three-part. Don't leave out the last one. The last one's the best part. Submit, resist, and then watch what happens. That's the last part of it. When it says he will flee from you, you're supposed to witness what happens when God does something in your life, and then to rejoice in that. Don't sell that scripture short that was up on the screen. Submit yourselves. Resist, and then watch what happens. Because that's exactly what happens here in Matthew chapter 4 when Christ is in the desert place praying, and then he goes in front of the tempter of all people, the devil. Do you think there's a devil in this world? Do you think Satan is in this world? Do you think evil's in this world? Does anybody here this morning think that evil doesn't exist? Anybody? Good. Because you need to admit both things to understand that there is a Christ and that there is a Savior and that there's a power that is stronger than the devil. So turn with me, if you would, to this beautiful scripture in the book of Romans, and it's in chapter 8, one of my favorite chapters in Romans. We're studying Romans, by the way, in Bible study. We're in the 12th chapter, about to end it, and about to go to the 13th. We're almost done with this book. So turn to Romans, the 8th chapter of Romans, and we're going to look at verses 35 through 37 together. This is the watch portion of that scripture that we read this morning. Because once you have Christ in your life and you start trusting him, you start submitting yourself to God, resisting the things of this world, it doesn't come without work. You can't just say, that's where the name it and claim it people have it all wrong. This is probably one of the best opportunities I'm going to have to talk to you about the name it and claim it society out there. The name it and claim it society have it all wrong. They think you can just utter a scripture and then everything will be okay. I'm claiming that scripture. Really. If you don't claim God and submit to God as your God and your only God, and don't tempt God, don't do stupid things trying to watch how big my God is. The people that say that and then step in front of a moving train are idiots. And the people that are naming and claiming it are running a close second in that race. Because you see, it takes effort to live this Christian life. Why do you think Jesus Christ was in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights? This is Jesus Christ. This is God preparing himself for temptation and trials. He spends 40 days and 40 nights in prep work, before he's tempted. And we think we can just say, Romans 8:28, and go on with your life. It doesn't work that way. It's called submit, resist. Resist is a verb. It's an action word. And then it's watch what God does. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and then watch him flee from you. Got it? With me? Let's read Romans now. It's beautiful scripture. Because when you do that, you have this peace that surpasses all understanding, and you can say these words with confidence. And you'll hear confidence in Jesus' words here in Matthew chapter 4 in just a few moments. They're beautiful words of confidence. But here we are in Romans 35 through 37. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, shall distress, shall persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Think of all the things that come against you and tempt you in this life. This Bible is teaching us that if you will submit yourself to God and resist the wiles of the devil and watch what the Lord can do, that you can say that nothing can separate you from the love of God in your life. Nothing. Nothing. As it is written, verse 36, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. They can kill your body. People can do nasty and terrible things to you, but they can't kill your relationship with God. They cannot do it. It's impossible. Nothing can separate you from the love of God once you have submitted to Him and admitted who He is, and then actionably resist the wiles of the devil. But you gotta work at it, young people. You've gotta work at it. You can't just say it. You can't just say, I'm a Christian, because if you just say it and walk around, I guarantee you, you will fall into the trap of the devil. Give absolutely 100%, it'll happen. What's the rest of the scripture? It's beautiful as well. In all things, we are more than conquerors through Him who, what? Loved us. This is a declaration of confidence. It's not naming and claiming it. This is a declaration of confidence in God who loves you. We might as well be reading John here, because John is the disciple that said, I am the disciple whom Jesus loves. He knew who loved him. He knew, he declared who loved him. He wasn't bragging about it. He was confidently saying, I am a person whom Jesus deeply loves. And when you have that confidence, you can say this, that you are a conqueror of all things. Are bad things going to happen in your life? Guaranteed. Guaranteed. Guaranteed that you'll be tested. Guaranteed that you'll be tempted. Guaranteed that calamity will come your way. I just read it. Trials, tribulations, right? It's going to happen. Where can you find in your Bible, I hope somebody can tell me this morning, where can you find in your Bible where Jesus promises you that you're going to have trials and tribulations? I'll give you the book. It's in John. Okay, I'll give you the chapter. It's 16. Okay, I'll give you the verse. It's 33. You're welcome. 12 years I've been teaching this verse. What does it say? But rejoice. That's good. But rejoice, I have overcome the world. Overcomers, there's the word, right? here we are in Romans. If you have Christ, and if you know that He loves you, you are more than conquerors. You are an overcomer of the trials and the tribulations of this world. You can overcome. When you start saying, I can't, the devil says, I got the door open. When you say, I can't do this or I can't do that, the devil just smiled at you and opened. He's got the door. He's got his foot inside the door. I can't quit doing this. I can't quit doing that. I can't do this. I can't do this for my family. I can't do this for the Lord. I can't. That's all Satan wants to hear. The door's open. He's coming in. He's got you. He's got you. I lived it. But when you say, get away from me, I have the confidence that God is able to overcome you, the devil. And when I say, greater is He that is in me than is in the world, then you have made a statement of confidence that you know the one who loved you before the world began. Before the world began, He loved you. And people say, I just can't think about that. It's just too much. It's too hard. It's too deep. When you hear about someone in your family that's going to be bringing a new child into the world, doesn't your heart just melt a little bit? Can't hardly wait to see that new one, and you think about them before they're even born. You think about how you're going to love them and hold them and squeeze them and kiss them. Smell their little feet. You wouldn't do that as an adult. You start doing that as an adult, you got a problem. But there is such a thing as premeditated love. You saw what happened when there's premeditated hate this week, didn't you? But there's such a thing as premeditated love. Engage with it. Enjoy it. Get ready. Get ready to be a blessing to someone. That's what Christ is doing here. In all of this, in chapter 4, we're getting there. We're going to open it back up here in just a second. What Christ is doing is preparing for 40 days and 40 nights, not just to be tempted and tested, my friends. He's preparing to love you to death, to His death, to your life. He's preparing to do the work of the gospel of love. The ultimate sacrifice. Premeditated love. It's exciting stuff for me that He would spend all that time in preparation just so that He could go ahead and be tried and tested throughout His 3-year career and then go to the cross for my sins. What a beautiful love story that is. All because He loved you and cared for you before the foundation of the world with premeditated love. Amazing, isn't it? Turn back with me to chapter 4 in Matthew. And when we sang that song, The Answer is Christ, and when we read that scripture in James chapter 4 about submitting and then resisting, here's where it is. This is what Christ is doing. We just got through the first temptation last time, and it came down that the very first thing that happened is that Jesus went into the wilderness and He was tempted by the devil. And it says when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterward, He was hungry. Verse 3, and now when the tempter came to Him and He said, if you're the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But He answered and said, this is Jesus Christ saying this, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And we said last night that when you're tempted, or last night, we said last week, when you are tempted, and if you listen to what Christ says here, He says, it's the Word of God that will save you from this temptation, and it is. God provides a doorway and out. Satan is looking for a doorway into your life, okay? You got it? You with me? He's looking for a way in when you say, no, I can't, I will not, I don't buy this, I don't agree, I don't believe in God. When you say all those things, he is looking for you to say and do those things and open your heart to sin. And the moment he hears you say, I can't, he knows the door is open. Christ is trying to provide you a way out through his word that says, submit to God, resist the devil, and I will help you. Because God's word will rescue you from the devil. He promises that it will. Promises. And then it goes on to the second temptation. Then the devil took him up into the lofty and holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus said to him, it is written again, this is God's word, here it is again, if you use God's word, the devil has no reply. You notice that? In each time that Jesus uses God's word, the devil has no reply to that particular temptation. Here it is. He says, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. The devil's coming up with excuses. He wants to get the door open, but every time the devil thinks he's got the door open, Jesus Christ slams the door shut with God's word. You can't get in. Satan, you can't get in. And Satan has nothing to say about that. He can't do it. So once again, he tempts him. And it says, again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. And Jesus said to him, here it is. Did I tell you to watch? Submit, resist, and watch. Here's the watch portion. What did he say to him? Away with you. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Satan thought that all the riches of all the world would be somehow important to Jesus Christ. They were important to him, but they certainly weren't important to Jesus Christ. He's the one that made them. They're his to give or to take away. He's the author, the giver, the finisher of faith, the giver of water, the giver of life. And he says to Satan, away with you. And if you are trying to follow along with me this morning, and I hope you are just a little bit while I'm trying to paint you this picture, here we have Satan turning his back and walking away. Away with you, Satan. I'm done with you. I've spent 40 days and 40 nights. My heart's right. My heart's clean. I know what my job is. I have said yes. I practice. My answer is yes. Coming to church. Sang it 7 times. Maybe we'll sing that again sometime. He resisted. He submitted himself to God for 40 days and 40 nights. He resisted the devil using God's holy scripture. And he finally said, get out of here. That's the action part. Submit, resist, watch him go away. It works. But you've got to do it. You can't just say it. You've got to do it. You've got to have action in your life. You've got to say, I resist. Lord, this is hard. This is difficult for me, but I am going to resist. And man, it won't last that long. It won't, I promise you. It won't. The struggle, the temptation will be hard. It'll be horrible. You think you can't do it, and then all of a sudden, the peace will come, and Satan will know that the Lord won, and he was defeated, and then that peace will come over you, and you'll go, whew. Until the next time. Because in this world, John 16:33, you will be tempted over and over and over and over and over again. But you need to resist the wiles of the devil by by using God's word in your life. Satan, get away from me. Use these three scriptures. Just use those. You can't think. You know, memorize these three. A poignant story crossed my path this week, as it always does when I'm preparing God's word. I was watching the documentary on the Holocaust in Hitler's Germany, the rise and fall of the Third Reich of Germany. At the end of the documentary, a stark reminder of the death and destruction that that war alone caused. The people who keep track of such things are confident that at least 40 million people died during that conflict, and at least half of them, 20 million, were civilians. I don't even like that terminology. I don't like it broken down like that, because they were all people. Whether they wore a uniform or whether they didn't, they were all human beings and part of God's creation. One man in particular caused me to understand why I needed to use this today when talking about temptation. He had been part of Hitler's SS group, the inner circle, the most trusted of Hitler's commandos. And he had heard of a plot in 1944 to assassinate Hitler. He was one of a few people who knew of this plot. The powers to be found out that he was one of the people who knew about this plot. They brought him to trial because he knew about the plot and didn't do anything about it. Are you following with me? He knew that the plot was afoot to assassinate Hitler. They found out that he was one of the people who knew that they were going to do this. And he didn't go to Hitler's guard and say, they're going to try to assassinate the Führer. So they brought him in front of a military tribunal, and they charged him with treason and subversion. And they convicted him of treason and subversion. And they sentenced him to death by hanging. I won't mention his name. You can look it up. But they allowed him one favor. They allowed him, before his hanging, to write to his family. This is a Nazi who had been promised everything from the rise of Hitler in the 30s up until 1944. The regime was starting to fall apart. The war would soon be over in one more year. But they'd been promised everything by Hitler, the great society, the great race, of which I declare there's only one race, the human race. They've been promised gold and wealth and the superior race of people who would conquer the entire earth, and they believed and trusted in Hitler, hook, line, and sinker. They bought into all of it. He was their Führer. He was their God. He was their leader. They would do anything for him at any time. They would die for him. They would lay down their life for him. But he had become disenfranchised with seeing all the deaths that were happening. Somehow he had been tempted, and he'd bought into it for much of his life. But now he was questioning it. And so they allowed him this one favor, and they said, you can write your family. Remember this morning when Joe said he taught the kids how to pray? Remember when I asked you to remember that this is a house of prayer? The man wrote one sentence to his wife, and it said this: teach our children to pray. I now know what it means. after believing in an earth God and an earth man who said he could conquer the world and do anything, who was invincible. He now faced the reality of leaving this life, being sentenced to death. And he had one chance to write one thing to his family, only one chance. And he wrote, "Teach our children to pray. I now know what it means." I would just ask if this was a high-ranking person. No, this was an officer in the army, one of thousands and thousands and thousands. This could have been you or me. It was someone who had not resisted the devil, but had given in. Had given in, had opened the door, had bought in to the things of life, had bought into the stuff of life, of superiority, of prejudice, thinking that they were greater than any other person who lived on the earth, until the time came to leave this life. I believe that we have a Lord that we can identify with. I believe that we have a Lord that has been tempted and understands what we go through on a daily basis. And I believe if we pray to Him, as we are instructed to do, that He will help us in our time of trial and trouble and tribulation. And I believe that if this man prayed and it had any upbringing at all, and I pray that he did, I believe that if he prayed to the Lord Jesus Christ and asked him for forgiveness of his sins, even being an SS officer, I believe that he prayed and was contrite and prayed in the way that God asked us to. I believe that if he prayed to Jesus Christ and asked for forgiveness, he was forgiven. And I believe that if he did that, then he is alive and well and sitting in heaven where God intended him to be all along. Because that's the God that I serve, is the God that if we overcome the temptations, if we finally submit to Him and resist the devil, then we can watch the action of God and watch Him save our lives. How do I know that? I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures just to make sure that we all understand who we're talking about here. And I'd like you to turn with me to the book of Hebrews. It's over in the right. Just keep turning to the right. You'll find the book of Hebrews. Past that little last P book. There's five P's in your Bible. And you'll find the book of Hebrews. And if you'll turn there with me to chapter 4. I will share something with you. You there? I pray you are. See, we need boldness to overcome the devil in this world because he's a mighty force to deal with. Right? Do you agree? You agree that his temptations are great? I don't care what you're tempted by. I don't care if it's food. We're not going to name all of them because we already know what they are, don't we? So what good would it do for me to stand up here and start naming the things that we're tempted and tested by? Because I'd be afraid I'd miss one and you'd think you got off the hook. Or maybe I'd purposely leave one out that I'm tempted by so you wouldn't know that I'm tempted by it. So we just know in our hearts we have a thing called a reprobate mind. We're studying that in Romans 2. We have a carnal mind. We think about fleshly things. We think about worldly things. That's who we are. And we're supposed to be able to overcome that through the Word of God. And the Word of God will slam the door on the devil and open the door for Christ in our life. In fact, my book in the book of Revelation says that any door he chooses to close, he'll close. And any door he chooses to open, he'll open for his sake and for his glory and not for ours. But he'll do it to save us because he loves us. But here in Hebrews, we have confidence and boldness to stand before Satan and resist him. Because Christ is superior to Satan, he's superior to all things in this universe and beyond. Verse 15, Hebrews chapter 4. It says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." Now when you read this, it's in that old English type. It says, "For we do not have." It means the exact opposite of that. When you read that, you need to read it, "For we have a priest, we have a God, we have." It's just a manner of writing here, so don't confuse it. "We have a high priest who can sympathize." Can. The way it's written here says, our priest is not somebody who can't sympathize with us. So I'm trying to put it in the positive, right? Just turning around to make it positive for all of us to understand. We do have a priest. We do have a priest who can sympathize with everything we have gone through. Everything. And then it goes on to explain why that's possible. It says, because he was tempted in all points as we are, yet he was without sin. Yet us therefore come how? Boldly. Come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Does that mean that we need to come saying we're better than everyone else? The boldness is not in us. The boldness is the boldness that we get knowing that Christ is superior to the devil. We don't go and say, I can take care of the devil on my own. The moment you do that, he got the door open again. The moment you say, I can handle this on my own, the devil just grinned and laughed and shook his head yes and had a party. This scripture is designed to tell you that we can come with boldness of Christ as our ally. He's leading us in. And we can obtain mercy through him and grace through him and forgiveness through him, and we can resist the wiles of the devil through him. It's like walking in to battle with your opponent's got a pea shooter and you've got every arsenal that was ever invented by anyone. That's the difference between who God is and who Satan is. Boldly go in there. And it's not Star Trek either. Boldly go where no man has ever gone before. It's not Star Trek. This is entering into a relationship with God and saying, because you are with me. There we go. There we go. That makes sense now, right? Because you are with me, I can boldly go into this conflict, and with you by my side, I'll win. With you on my arm, I win. Because you have overcome, and if you've overcome, I'm an overcomer. I'm victorious because you were victorious over the grave. You went to the grave and walked out of it, and because you did that, I can do it too. So you can overcome all things. And see, when it says, when you're reading right there, right, in Hebrews, it says he's overcome all things. It means he's even overcome the grave. Not just the temptation in the 40 days and the 40 nights of the devil. He's overcome all things that are common to man. And one of those things that's common to man is that we shall die. That's a commonality, by the way. But if you have Christ Jesus, Jesus himself said, if you have me and believe in me, even though you die, you shall live. And here's the scripture that backs that up. One last place, I'm going to let you go. It's hard to believe. Marilyn's not with me. Please text her and tell her we got out early. Then she'll say, I had to go somewhere. I don't know. And Jeff's recording this. I shouldn't have said that. I apologize for all the things I said. Never mind. Edit that out, Jeff. The book of the Revelation, chapter 3. This is where the rubber meets the road. Christ is speaking to his churches, and he's speaking to each and every one of you. Every one of you. Anybody else hot? No? Must be me. I'm having a Holy Spirit high or something. Could be the Alka-Seltzer Plus. I don't know. Could be the chloroseptic or the nose spray. I don't know. In the third chapter of the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, he is writing to churches. And remember that scripture we had up on the board, up on the screen. Remember James 4:7, right? Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he shall flee from you. Remember? Submission, action, resisting, and then watch what happens. When you don't have any action, if you're just naming it and claiming it, God has a message for you. He has a message waiting and ready for you. Because when you are not willing to make up your mind and do anything for God, he says you're a fence setter. That you cannot make up your mind. That you're a double-minded person. You want this on one hand and that on the other. You want your cake and you want to eat it too. So many people say, well, I can't do this, I can't do that, because I don't want to give up the lifestyle that I have. Well, if you're that concerned about the lifestyle that you have, you might consider that your lifestyle might be killing you. It's entirely possible. Anyway, here it is in the third chapter. Excuse me. Verses 15 and 16. He's talking about the works of a church. And he's saying, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot, and I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will what? Oh, I like the other word better, because you'll remember it. I don't like the spew word. Like the other one. Yeah. Because it's lunchtime. You won't eat as much. You'll be able to curb your enthusiasm. God says, I've given you all this help. It's available to you. I have gone through, we just read it in Hebrews, I've gone through every temptation that you're ever going to go through. I understand what you're going through. I'm both God and man. I get it. I've got it. I created you. Here's the pathway out. Here's the avenue. Submit to God. Resist the devil. Use my word against Satan always. Use God's word. Use it. Not in a name it and claim it way, though. Talk to Satan about God's word, because he overcame, I'm overcoming. Don't put me first, I. Put God first. Be actionable. Do something. Don't sit on the fence. God says if you just sit there as a church and don't have action for God, if you sit there as a human being, just as an individual, and you want this on the left and you want that on the right, and you don't want to make that decision for Christ, he said, it annoys me to the point that I get sick at my stomach and I want to vomit your actions out of my mouth. Because they're not worthy of God. So the next time, me included, every time I preach one of these temptation testing sermons, I want you to know there's a mirror in front of me. because I have just as much trouble as anyone else, because I believe John 16:33. But I also believe every other scripture quoted here this morning, and that is that God is able to make us overcomers and conquerors and victorious through his word. I believe that. And I'm tempted every day like you are, every day, every day, every day. And I know the only way out of that temptation is submit to God. Resist the devil, use his word, and get off of the fence. And say with the authority and the boldness of Christ in my heart, that greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Let's pray.